Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Alan Levy, and welcome to my show, The Alan Levy Show on Blog Talk Radio. Hope you're having a wonderful evening tonight. I certainly am, so thank you. If you're listening to this live, you're at blogtalkradio.com, and, of course, this broadcast will be archived for podcast, and you can find the podcast at blogtalkradio.com/Alan Levy. Once again, thank you for joining me tonight. We have a special guest. His name is Warren Lammert. He's the chairman and co-founder of the Epilepsy Therapy Development Project. And he'll be speaking with us. I think he's calling from Boston. So we'll hear what Warren has to say about this very important program that he's co-founded. My co-host tonight is Amy Domestico. How are you, Amy?
I'm great, Alan. How are you?
I used to say Amy Domestico of the Blue Doodle, but now I say it's the Blue Doodle and Blog Talk Radio.
Absolutely.
we have you almost every waking hour on Blog Talk Radio these days. So.
24/7.
Well, thank you very much.
It's too much fun to go away, right?
Yeah, sure. Those of you that like to call in tonight with a question for Warren, our guest, can reach us at 347-677-0649. That's 347-677-0649. Warren Lammert, as I indicated earlier, is the chairman and co-founder of the Epilepsy Therapy Development Project, and I had the privilege of meeting Warren a few weeks back at they were doing a premiere movie for PBS, and it was very interesting and very informative, and I was very happy to be there, and Warren agreed to come on. Hi, Warren. How are you?
I'm good, Alan.
Great. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Well, thank you for having me on the show.
So tell us a little about your program, the Epilepsy Therapy Development Project, where, you know, when it was started, how long it's been in existence, where people can find the find information on this project, on your program.
Well, the Epilepsy Therapy Development Project formally has been in existence since 2002. Our roots actually go back probably another 4 years with the founding of epilepsy.com, and you can find out about the Epilepsy Therapy Development Project either by going to epilepsy.com or to the epilepsytdp.org website.
Okay.
Are we expecting another caller? We have another caller on the line, area code 703.
We should just answer the call. Maybe is Kim calling in? Hold on, please. Okay. Hi, you're on Blog Talk Radio? 703?
Hey, Al, yeah.
Hello?
Hey.
Yeah, hi, you're on Blog Talk Radio. Who are we speaking with? Oh, that person must have hung up. Well, Warren, I know that you've been spending a lot of time on this movie, this premiere that we saw. Maybe you could talk to us a little about that and how you came about preparing that, where it's going to be released, and what the time frame for that release is.
Sure. Alan, the movie is Epilepsy in Search of Effective Therapies. And it's a documentary produced for PBS as part of the Healthy Body, Healthy Mind series, which is apparently one of the more popular series on PBS. It basically takes a look at the sort of unsolved problem of epilepsy, I would call it. Most people don't realize that epilepsy, which basically means having two or more seizures that aren't provoked by an immediate medical challenge of some kind, is a condition which affects almost 1% of the population. And 30 to 40% of those with epilepsy have seizures that aren't controlled with any of the existing medicines. That's something that's been true for the last 40 years, and we've not made a lot of headway in gaining control for people who are living with epilepsy. Many others who have epilepsy have to take medications which involve side effects that are quite serious, including cognitive issues and making you feel tired. So the documentary is really about this problem of epilepsy and the need for new therapies, and it looks at the lives of four patients, and it is a medical overview that's provided by some of the leading neurologists in the field, including Oren Davinsky from NYU, Steve Schachter from Beth Israel Deaconess, and also Eric Kossoff, who is at Johns Hopkins University.
How much funding a year, how does the funding for epilepsy compare to other diseases that are funded right now?
Unfortunately, if you look at just the population of patients whose seizures are active or uncontrolled by the existing meds, it's a population that is close to 1 million people in the U.S. alone. And the funding for epilepsy, both from a government standpoint and in terms of private charitable giving, is nowhere near what it is for other diseases that are much smaller. Diseases like ALS, Parkinson's, each raise more money than epilepsy, orders more money than epilepsy, and yet affect groups of people that are very, very small in contrast.
And why do you think that's the case?
Well, you know, Alan, I think there's a historical stigma or fear that surrounds epilepsy. People going back, you know, to the biblical days have often interpreted epilepsy, which is basically just an aberrant storm of electrical activity in the brain, as a visitation from evil spirits. And they've feared that epilepsy is something that you could get as an infectious disease from somebody else, which is totally not the case. It's simply a question of electrical activity being, you know, kind of firing in the same way that lightning does in the brain and bursting and causing the body to move without, you know, your own mind controlling it. So I think that stigma of epilepsy has prevented people from talking about it. And without people talking about it, friends and family don't stand up and contribute to help.
I personally, my daughter has epilepsy. She's 4. And she isn't that well controlled on the medication that she's on currently. We had had her on phenobarbital, and you know the difficulties that come with phenobarbital. She wasn't learning. She wasn't even speaking until 6 months ago. And we weaned her off the phenobarbital, which was a feat all in itself because it's a barbiturate. And we put her on one other medication, which did not control her seizures. And now they've added in a new one that the side effects are that most of today, I've sat in a dark room with her because I couldn't turn the lights on because it was hurting her eyes. And so the side effects alone sometimes are just as bad as the seizures themselves. I mean, how could you sit in a dark room for the rest of your life with a child, you know?
Well, that's true, Amy. And Sylvie was first put on phenobarbital as well, which also impacted her speech and learning.
Right.
And yet did not control her seizures. And, you know, phenobarbital is an important medicine, but it's an old medicine.
Uh-huh.
And too often general neurologists go back to the old medicines and don't look to the newer medicines that are available, although, unfortunately, many of the choices we have in terms of medicines have still quite serious side effects in terms of cognitive issues, behavioral issues, and making people feel drowsy.
Right. I was reading on your website about new medications. You did a press release on December 4th about some brain implants that people are working on that you guys have funded a lot of money to. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, sure. The Epilepsy Therapy Development Project tries to advance and accelerate new effective therapies for people with epilepsy.
Uh-huh.
And we do that in two ways. We fund individual programs and ideas for new medicines that are coming out of the universities, and we try to help them move into a path of sort of moving from the laboratory through the clinical process to the patient. We also support investments like epilepsy.com and also a clinical study consortium, which are broader investment platforms that can help move therapies of all kinds more quickly to the finish line, to be there for the patient.
Uh-huh.
The press release that you mentioned related to the most recent cycle of funding for our new therapy grants. And that's a program which we pursue in partnership with the Epilepsy Foundation and with additional funding from the New York University charity called FACES and also the Milken Family Foundation. But in that particular cycle of funding, we supported the development of some very intriguing work that involves using implants that could be placed in the brain that very slowly release adenosine, which is a natural compound that has been found to inhibit seizures. And the long-range vision of that project is actually to produce cells which could be put into the implant, which themselves would produce adenosine. So you would actually put a small adenosine factory in the brain, which would produce more of this inhibitory compound and, you know, potentially regulate seizures on a long-term basis.
And eliminate the need for medication, which is huge.
Right. It would deliver medicines locally just to the brain, so you wouldn't have side effects affecting the rest of the body, in theory.
And how are these...
But it is one that is more ambitious, technically, and will take longer to get to the finish line.
Warren, we have a call. Can we take a call?
Sure.
Great. Yes, hi. You're on Block Talk Radio.
Yes, hi. I have a question, actually.
What's your name?
My name is Jake from Louisville, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And my question is, I actually have a nephew, and recently he started to have an increase.
Those seizures may have been controlled in the years leading up to adolescence. May, again, in some cases, not be controlled as they begin to see the effects of those significant hormonal changes which characterize adolescence. So that is a challenge, and I imagine I'd have to look through the site to try and find more content on that, but that is something which is very common.
And then it ultimately it would in fact go away, or it could become an onset that he would have to live with, is what we are being told. And I gather, you know, this is a normal, healthy child for the most part, but then he will be out throwing a football or whatnot and then collapse into a seizure for whatever reason. And we're not exactly sure. And they've done all kinds of tests, tilt tables and things of that nature, and it's just becoming frustrating. And certain drugs you were talking about, I mean, I don't want... I'm just concerned, basically.
Well, I will tell you, I'm a father of a wonderful 9-year-old girl who continues to have seizures and had a grandma seizure last night. And it's frustrating. It makes me angry. It makes me sad. It's a tough thing to live with. And that's why we're doing what we're doing, trying to bring new medicines to people to control these seizures. I'm sick of them.
Right. Yeah, he's definitely suffering. I mean, it's getting to the point where, you know, they're afraid to send him off to school. They're reoccurring more frequently now, and the doctors just seem to kind of use them as a lab rat. It's what I feel like. You know, it's not so much, you know, try this pill, see if this works, try this medicine, see if this works.
Unfortunately, for too many people, you know, again, 30 to 40% of people with epilepsy, which could be up to a million people, there is no therapy which is going to provide control. But some people are going to find control by looking to the newer medications, and it's important to try all the options because it's a very personal thing. And you may find that the last medicine you try does give you improved control with better side effects.
Thank you for calling, Jake.
Yeah, you really want doctors who are going to keep trying.
Great. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Has there been a noted progress in the last couple of years, or do you see some really exciting things coming up, or is it? What's your sense of where we are in terms of finding some help here for the uncontrolled?
Well, I think epilepsy is a final common pathway that springs from a lot of causes. So there are a lot of different epilepsies. And to solve this problem of epilepsy, it's probably going to take a number of different therapies, a lot of shots on goal. I think there are a number of promising new therapies in the development pipeline, both new drugs and there's some exciting new devices. And
companies kind of, I mean, it makes intuitive sense to me for them to be all over this, given that there's such a large population of potential users of this medication. Why are they not taking a more proactive role in this?
Well, there are important products in the pipeline at some of the larger pharma companies. There are also many smaller companies and biotech companies which are investigating epilepsy and epilepsy drugs. And so epilepsy is not completely forgotten. But even though there are as many as a million people with active epilepsy, epilepsy does not look like it is as large a market as heart disease or certain forms of cancer or perhaps Alzheimer's. And for that reason, it probably doesn't offer a blockbuster potential, which is really what big pharma today needs to move the needle in terms of their very significant revenue lines. So I think epilepsy is an important condition that is getting some attention from industry. But it's a big problem that's going to require lots of new solutions to help. And I think the opportunity is really to catalyze greater investment by industry and more shots on goal. But the Epilepsy Therapy Development Project is the only nationwide organization that is focused entirely on the problem of new therapies and the specific problem of translation of important research from sort of the academic lab into commercialization. If you look at the pipeline of therapy development, there's a kink in that pipeline, and that exists at this stage of early
medications for epilepsy also? Do you think there's any kind of help in that respect?
Well, I think there is a synergy with a number of with much of the work that's going on broadly in the CNS space, which would include Parkinson's and ALS and Alzheimer's, but probably in terms of the way the disease works, epilepsy shares more in common with migraine, with neuropathic pain, than it does specifically with Parkinson's or with ALS. Still, there are things like delivering drug directly to the brain is a problem that pertains to those two diseases, and work on that will benefit all of us together. So there are many kinds of research, and there are certain kinds of innovation that will help a number of these diseases in the neuroscience area. However, is to a certain extent the real driver of medical innovation, because we have the biggest individual quasi-free market for medicine, which provides the biggest part of the return for those who make the very risky long-term investment that's required to develop new therapies. So certainly the opportunity to tap markets in other developed countries around the world provides motivation for researchers, in addition to the opportunity that is presented to help people in the U.S. and to sell medicines to people in the U.S.
But there's no other large groups that have been formed in, you know, the U.K. or in Germany that's dedicated to this?
Well, there are important charitable groups in the U.K. There is less of a tradition of philanthropy, I think, in continental Europe than there is in the U.S. But we see the growth of India, the growth of China, and their economies means there are more people who can pay for therapies. And, you know, there's also a great number of university students that are coming out of those countries who will help us in attacking these problems.
I see. Now, we've spoken about Blog Talk Radio and about the possibility of, you know, you or Kim hosting a show on Blog Talk Radio focused on
epilepsy.com. We do have blogs there as well as discussion threads and instant chat. We intend to make the community aspects of the site far more central to everything we're doing so that we can learn from our community, and we can invite the community, including the professional community, to participate with us in building out the content of the site in a Wikipedia-like fashion. So that's sort of our vision. I love what you're doing with Blog Talk Radio.
Answers would have perhaps an opportunity to speak to some guests that you come have on, and who can be to listen to and engage them, you know, in a live, interactive manner. And then, of course, it's recorded as a podcast. Is very helpful. And the other thing could be the possibility of raising money using this platform, where you've got, you know, telethons and you know, click-a-thons, if you will. You know, where you can have it for multiple hours, and you could talk, you know, you can have different guests come on and have entertainment and talk about epilepsy. So I'd love to explore some of these ideas with you, and see, you know, how you can utilize them. We have another call. Let's take that. Hi, you're on Blog Talk Radio. Hello? Hello? Oh, that call's not there right now. So, yeah, we look forward to working with you.
Well, great. Alan and Amy, I've really enjoyed the show, and I very much look forward to working with you, and I think it's an interesting opportunity to reach out to our community. I appreciate your help with it.
My pleasure. Nice meeting you.
Nice to meet you, Alan. Thank you, Amy.
Have a good night.
You too.
Thank you. Bye.
That was Warren Lammer, who's chairman of the Epilepsy Therapy Development Project. You can find them at epilepsy.com. And, Amy, I know that you are very close to this issue. Amy? Yes. Amy's hung up. Okay. Well, thank you for joining me tonight, and hope to see you very soon once again on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks.